man. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? A lot of stuff going down on this show, action-packed from the beginning to the end. First and foremost, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, Randy?
Yesterday, I don't know if you heard the news. Okay. Yes. Well, first, let me lay out the Larry the Cable Guy, up momentarily. Then from Styx, James Young, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
A couple of UFC fighters as the UFC kicks back in. I think it's like 32 straight weeks. I'm being sarcastic. Probably 14. Nick Fiore and Raquel Pennington both coming up as well. But yesterday could go down as one of the greatest days in the history of my life.
Yesterday?
Okay.
Wasn't it yesterday?
What happened yesterday? Is that when you went 200 miles an hour?
No. We'll talk about that. That was fun. But I don't know how much I talked about on air about the hit and run. My car got hit.
Did I know that?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
You don't like me that much. You don't text me.
It was at Applebee's, right? Applebee's?
It was in a parking lot.
Okay. Hospital?
And
Tampa General?
Nah.
A car backed into to our car.
He's a food guy.
Luckily, I took his license plate. I never thought, from now on, moving forward, always take pictures of people.
Yeah.
Because he ran.
You're a millennial now. Pull the phone out whenever anything happens.
I pulled it out.
Yeah.
And you know what's even better? I pulled him out of a lineup yesterday.
Wow. What? Wow.
How about that?
Man.
Yep. I ID'd him out of a lineup.
They still do that in the police department?
Yeah.
Do they line him up in like a room in like a two-way mirror?
No, this was the pictures. I think the two-way mirror would be easier. To be honest,
you can compare.
Yeah, in this case, they put them in manila envelopes.
Okay.
And one picture is in each envelope. And you look at the first one, you close the envelope, you look at the next one, you can't go back. So you look at it as long as you want to, but once you close it, it's done. Okay. You go all the way through the 10 envelopes, and you can go a second time.
So where do they get the other photos from? Like, are they all people who've been arrested and booked?
No idea. I mean,
random pictures from the internet, Facebook?
If you've ever, well, I don't think you could use random pictures, but if you've ever watched any of the, you know, the cop shows, sometimes there are other police, you know, that they'll use.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued right now. I didn't know that was real. I thought that was like a TV thing.
Honestly, and I told the officers, this is the greatest thing to happen to me. And
was it a two-way mirror, or are they gonna be able to track me and Matt?
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show.
Welcome to the program.
You guys are trying to be funny, but we got somebody on the line right now coming to town who is definitely funny. Let's welcome to the program, Larry the Cable Guy. Larry, how are you?
Hey, Randy.
I'm scared.
Is it Randy?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I called up, and you guys, right? That guy goes, he's going to give me a T-shirt package.
Yes.
Well, do I get the T-shirt package?
Larry, not only do you get the T-shirt package, but we're also going to send you a care package from Blue Salsa. In West Virginia, so we're going to hook you up with some of the best salsa you've ever had.
Yeah, good, because that salsa I've been using, good night, nurse. My tapeworm had a heart attack eating that stuff.
Well, we'll make sure that we send enough for you, you know, and the critter.
Larry, I want to tell you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
When I saw you on the lineup, there's rarely I've been excited to interview people on this show, right? The Usmans and... you know, Cowboy Cerrone's. When I saw Larry the Cable Guy on this lineup, I got so excited. You were such a big part of my childhood. You're probably a part of Big Randy's 30s. You know, I'm a little bit younger than Randy. But, like, I grew up watching you, watching the Blue Collar Comedy Show and all those things. You and Ron White, so big fan. Love your comedy.
Love your comedy. I appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a pleasure to interview you and talk to you tonight.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. Yeah, a lot of fun, man. Me and Ron, we had a good time on that hoodie. I remember Ron and I, when we started that thing, you know, we'd go up, he'd do 10, 15 minutes, I'd do 10, 15 minutes, and then we'd be done for the day. And I remember about halfway through the first tour, Jeff invited us over to his house, which resembled kind of a La Quinta Inn. I mean, it was crazy. And we walked in. I remember Ron White going, man, this is so unattainable. And I said, Ron, nothing's unattainable, man. You just keep working hard, and you never know what's going to be around the next corner. And next thing I know, a year later, he's got an airplane.
Crazy. This is the second time that you and I have talked. We talked at the David Wells Celebrity Softball Game in Tampa many years ago. And, of course,
oh,
in the Tampa Bay area,
yeah.
We all know about you from back in the Ron and Ron days. Talk about, you know, the Tampa Bay ties and the fact that you are returning to Tampa Bay this weekend.
Oh, yeah, man. It's just the greatest time of my life. It was so much fun. You know, me and Ronnie D and Ronnie B, we was buddies. And Ron used to come over, and I started the Comedy Corner in West Palm Beach. And so I'd come over all the time and work Ron's Club there in Clearwater at the, oh, man, on 192, there, Ron Bennington's comedy scene. And, man, we just had a good time. And I remember he called up and said, man, you got to call the show and do some of these characters and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I started there. We were just good friends, and everything just kind of snowballed from there. But those were such great times. I loved the whole area. And Tampa Bay put me on the map, and Orlando, and I love working there. I've been working in Tampa for many years at all the clubs. That's where I came up and came through. So every time I come out and do the Ruth Eckert Hall, man, I always get a nice crowd out there, and I can't thank my fans enough, man. They've stuck with me throughout all those years, and we all share a lot of good 95 YNF memories together.
Absolutely.
So Larry, I have a question. I've done stand-up. I've done the open mics in Tampa.
Not very good, but you have done it.
But I did it. It's terrifying. Those that have never done it before, as you know. For me, you know, I how do you get discovered nowadays? I know the old school Hollywood, you hopefully get discovered by the right place, the right time. Is it still that way, or is it all digitalized where you have to be known online now?
Well, you know, as far as late shows, back when I was coming up, you know, you wanted to get on a late show. Carson always puts you on the map, and Leno was always good for that. But now the late night talk shows ain't what they used to be. A lot of, you know, and so it's always nice to have one of those credits. But I've noticed that most of the comics coming up now, they are being very relevant by just having a great social media presence and just busting ass on social media and developing a following on YouTube or whatever they're using. That's how a lot of them, you know, I got a show on Sirius 97, Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup, and I interview comedians every week, and I always ask them that question about, how are you doing it different than how we did it? And every time they're just busting butt, doing everything on social media and developing a following that way. So that's something we didn't have, you know, when we were coming through. You had to go and you either did it just busting your butt in the clubs for the next 10 years, 15 years, or you tried to get on a late night show, or you tried to get a sitcom from a showcase. We didn't have a lot of those things they have now where you can reach the entire country just on your computer. So it's definitely a pretty good little advantage. The only disadvantage is everybody thinks they're a comedian. So
yeah. See that, Matt? Yeah. Not everyone's a comedian.
But I am a comedian. I've earned my stripes.
So, Larry, I became a comedian fan when I was like 15 years old. And I started with Eddie Murphy's Delirious and Dave Chappelle and Richard Pryor and you guys' Blue Collar Comedy Tour and your comedy about, like, you know, when you redneck, when this and that. And I love all those bits. How do you switch now from that culture, almost like the WWE culture with the Attitude Era to the PC Era, to where now comedians are scrutinized just like everybody else? Do you change your comedy And when you're going to these shows, when you're coming to Tampa, do you change your comedy from what it is because people might consider it risque or edgy, or do you stick to the same thing? Because I grew up on the comedy before, and I understand that I'm buying tickets to listen to jokes and to listen to the craziest things that I want to hear and laugh. Like, how do you adjust from where you started off in that period to now?
Yeah, no, I don't. Look, I don't change my act just because of the new woke culture or anything. The only thing that's changing my act is...
Yeah. In studio, we're clapping for you.
Yeah, the only thing that has changed in my act is now I'm older and I got kids, and I do a lot of stuff with, you know, of course, Pixar and all that kind of stuff. But,
dude,
I think I just kind of grew a little bit more. When you're a single kid running around doing jokes, you really don't have a care in the world, and you don't think about anything. You don't ever think about having kids. And then when you have kids, your priorities change a little bit with your act, and you're like, I don't think I want my kids hearing that. I better not do it. But as far as all the other stuff goes, I don't worry about it. My fans are my fans, and my fans want to come out and hear Larry the Cable Guy. I'm going to give them Larry the Cable Guy, and we're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. And the way I see it, the people that didn't like me anyway ain't going to come. And if you're going to come and bitch about me, then you weren't a fan to begin with.
Right.
Larry, I'm going to say one thing before I kick it to Randy. Comedians, stand-up comedians, are the last truth tellers. People have to understand the job that you do and how important that it is. And keep doing you, keep telling the truth, keep telling your experiences. I love it. I'm going to be there in Tampa. I'm going to buy tickets. I love hearing you talk about this. And
well, let me just jump in real quick, because if you're going to go to Tampa, you're going to miss it, because Ruth Eckert Hall is in Clearwater.
Well, make sure you go to Clearwater.
I'm in St. Pete right now, so yeah, there we go, sir.
Yeah, well, you love it. I have it. Look, it's the same old, you know, the jokes are awesome. I do, of course, all one-liner type stuff. And as far as that material goes, I have not changed material to not offend the woke crowds. I do material for my audience because they like my material.
Thank you.
Larry, let me ask you this. Is there anybody, any celebrity, anybody that comes to your show that's like off limits that you wouldn't say something about? And the reason I'm asking is I just wanted to make sure before I asked, I wanted to talk to you about the Get Her Done Foundation. And I vaguely remember, so I reached out to my friend Brad Penny, and he said, yeah, that's the golf tournament I play in every year. I tell you about it every year. Bring my name up, and I'm sure Larry's going to make fun of me.
Oh, Brad, yeah, Brad always plays my golf tournament. You know, one of the fun things about my golf tournament, and you can even ask David Wells this, I always roast all my celebrities. So I was going to quit doing it because I'm thinking, I hear these guys are coming all the way out of their way to do my thing. I get up there and hammer them, and I'm like, I ain't going to do it no more. And then they all go, no, it's funny. You got to keep doing it. So I do, you know. Brad Penny, it's almost the same every time. I'm always like, hey, I want to welcome Brad Penny. Brad's the fellow I always call when I can't get Joe Theismann or somebody.
Talk about the foundation, you know, and what you do, you know, for people.
Absolutely. We formed the Get Her Done Foundation. I'll put try and do this as quick as I can. My boy was born with hip dysplasia. We went to a doctor, and he referred us to another doctor, and we started going, you know, for something that's for hip dysplasia, you know, this kid might have to have surgery now. He might have to have surgery. So he's definitely going to have surgery on his hip. For something that vital to the body, for nobody to really know much about it or be on the same page, is kind of odd. So we got referred to a doctor in Orlando, Dr. Chad Price, and together with a donation to the Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital, we formed the International Hip Dysplasia Institute, where they do research, and all these doctors and pediatricians are all trained in the exact same manner how to treat hip dysplasia. And that's how it started. We're curing hip dysplasia, trying to eliminate it. They actually think now they can eliminate it. And so it's done really cool things. But since we did that, we started doing other things. The Madonna Rehabilitation Center in Nebraska that serves veterans with all kinds of head trauma, and also kids. So we focus the foundation anything that has to do with kids, anything that has to do with the troops, because the troops, you know, those guys, they fight for us and they're over there getting shot at and they come back. It's almost like the government ignores them. So we try to do as much as we can, as do other charities, to do things for the troops. So it's just the GetItDoneFoundation.org, and we focus on troops, focus on kids. And I have a golf tournament, like Brad told you, once a year. It's a lot of fun. And I think the website says 7. I think now we're up over $8 million, maybe a little over $8 million we've given out since we started to various organizations all across the country.
Awesome stuff. And as a veteran, I want to thank you for doing that. Before we run out of time, what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you while you were on stage?
Oh, my gosh. The crazy thing happened to me while I was on stage was very early on. I'll talk about this in more detail at one of my shows, but Willie Nelson invited me to perform at his 4th of July party way back in 2004, me and Ron White. And I went on there. Willie had given me money to do it, and I didn't want it because I was so honored he invited me to come do it. So I went to give him his money back on the bus, and I'm not a pot smoker. I don't smoke pot, but he gave me some. He rolled up a big old fatty and gave it to me, and I didn't want to look like a sissy. So to make a long story short, I'm in there with Willie humping on this stupid thing and coughing and getting sick and... And I literally thought I was going to die on his bus, but I didn't want him to think I was a sissy. And they come on and told me, they go, "Hey, Larry, 5 minutes." And I'm like, 5 minutes? And Willie goes, "You're going on stage in 5 minutes?" I said, "I guess." And he says, he looked over at Ray Price and he says, "Come on, Ray, we've got to go out and watch this disaster." And so that was the weirdest thing while I was on stage. I'm on stage, and the whole time I'm on stage, to my left is Willie Nelson and who I just said, my memory's gone, Ray Price. So yep. My whole time I'm on stage, it's Willie Nelson and Ray Price over there pointing at me, doubled over, laughing her hind end off because I was so stinking dizzy.
crazy, great stuff.
But not a lot of people can say they've been on stage and the whole time they look to their left and Willie Nelson's pointing at them, laughing at them, making fun of them.
That's definitely true. Well, we're definitely looking for your return to the Tampa Bay area Saturday at Ruth Eckert Hall in Clearwater. We will all be there. And then Sunday, you're up in Orlando at the Hard Rock. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And Brad and I have been talking. I think I need to come out to the next golf tournament.
Absolutely, you got to, man. Brad's awesome. Brad's one of my all-time good buddies, and I love when he comes up. He's into pickleball big time,
very big time. We brought him to a tournament in Nashville, and the whole reason he wanted to go is he got to play with the world champion. He's huge into it. Do you play pickleball?
No, I tried, but I threw out my pickle.
Well, last question for you. I know I said I was going to let you go, but I know that when I saw you at the David Wells, you were wearing the Atlanta Braves stuff. Are you still the big Brave fan? And I'm curious, what's the one sporting event that you've never been to that you would like to go to?
Man, I'm a huge Braves fan. I've been to a Super Bowl. I've been to the World Series. Man, you know what? I think I've been to a lot of them. Been to NASCAR, been to Indianapolis 500. The one sporting event I ain't never been to, the Lingerie Bowl.
Oh, all right. We'll call Bob Huco. We'll get that set. Have you been to a UFC event yet?
No, you know what? I haven't been to one of those. I've not been to a UFC event.
I will get that set up. John Jones is going to fight for the heavyweight title in March, and I think that's a fight that you need to go to.
Yeah, you know what? That'd be fun.
I'll
talk
Brad
about
it
when
up.
You come back to the show and see me.
Absolutely. All right. Larry, thank you very much for your time. We'll see you on Saturday in Clearwater.
Hey, looking forward to it. Thank you for having me, fellas, and
Gator Dan.
There it is. Larry the Cable Guy coming back to the Tampa Bay area. Looking forward to it. And let's plan on it. We'll make some calls. And Larry just invited us backstage, so that means you forgot to bring it up because you were so starstruck. But that means Matt's going to bring pizzas to Larry on Saturday.
Listen, Randy, if you're going to bring comedy legends on the show, you need to add like another hour to this thing because I'm a huge comedy fan, and like I grew up on Larry the Cable Guy and Dave Chappelle and all these guys. Like, we got to get more time for these guys. Like it's I was starstruck.
I can't take you on the 29th.
You can't. I'll be a fanboy back there bringing it in. I'll wear my cut off denim jackets and flannels and all that. I'm getting a full outfit. Cut off jean shorts and cowboy boots.
How did you play with the goat in the locker room? Like, were you a fan the whole time or was that different because he was your teammate?
It's different because he's my teammate.
Really?
Yeah. But when I met Jake Cole, it was a different situation.
Because I saw Tom Brady sign autographs for the Bengals players after the game, like handing out footballs. Like,
yeah, you're doing you know,
like against the enemy. Like you're.
Yeah, it's a different situation.
Like, do you have a Tom Brady autograph in your collection?
Not yet, but you know, when he retires, I'll definitely hit my people up, reach out to his people.
I didn't catch it, but I think somebody went up to Aaron Rodgers and asked for his jersey after the game. And
so they did.
Yeah, and he said, no, I'm keeping this one.
Yes. Okay, so I have an Aaron Rodgers theory. And again, I don't have insider information on this. You have a lot of insider information on this particular topic. I don't. But I think he kept it not because he's going to retire, but because he wants to leave the Packers, and that's his last Packers game.
Right.
So,
I believe that.
Of his career?
No, his last Packer game.
Packers game. Right. And I think that he's going to leave the Packers at some point this offseason and go to a different team. Because of how the team is structured, I don't think he's going to retire. He has too much talent and too much left to give. But the way the team is structured, the way Tom Brady's last year with the Patriots, everybody said he's washed up. He had less yards. They barely won the games in their division, which was at the time the weakest division in the NFL. Right? He comes to the Bucs, and then he leads the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns and all these things like that, like when Super Bowl. So I think he's going to leave the Packers. Go to maybe the Raiders, the Niners, and there's all these.
Well, I don't know about the Raiders because I don't know if you're going to want Brady and Aaron Rodgers on the same team.
I have thoughts on that. We can talk about that.
Let's hit this break, and then we'll talk about it. A lot of stuff still to get to, some shuffling going on in our schedule, so we'll announce that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Dale Murphy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here, and once you check out The Vinyl Image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I wanted you to hear the liner.
Larry the Pizza Guy.
That was a very old Larry the Cable Guy liner. Hopefully we'll be able to get a new one.
Well, no, Larry the Pizza Guy. That's what we're going to make him that.
So, A, I'm not sure that we want to take Caleb backstage when we meet. And hang out with Larry.
He fanned out a little bit.
I didn't
expect that. He's usually so mellow.
And what about the 29th? Do we take him backstage on the 29th, or is he going to be like you and fan out, you know, with Russell?
I mean, I don't know. Do you like Russell Peters as much? You know who Russell Peters is?
I know who Russell Peters is.
You know who he is, but you don't know his comedy.
I know his comedy. Okay. Just not as big a fan of his comedy. I didn't grow up with him.
Okay.
I grew up with Larry the Cable Guy. I grew up with Dave Chappelle. I grew up with those guys, Eddie Murphy, you know. And so I know his comedy. Not as much my speed, because he talks a lot about kids and like how his background is. So, but I know he's very successful. He sells out stadiums. But I won't fan out as much for Russell Peters as I would with Larry Cable Guy.
All right, then you can't go Saturday, and we'll take you on the 29th when Russell comes to town. I did neglect when Larry came on. I jumped right into it. I was supposed to announce our listener of the week.
Oh, we have one.
Yeah, we have a listener of the week.
Who's
it's
that?
Tom Seiko from the Villages. And the only bad part of him being the listener of the week is I don't know if he's from Ohio or he's an Ohio State fan.
Okay.
So if I knew the difference, maybe my hand wouldn't have gone to that tag.
Right. And the prize would be a lot
better.
Either
way, he's a sad, sad man today.
Why is that? The team that beat them destroyed their opponent. Did you watch that whole game?
I watched both. I watched all the playoff games. And I knew Ohio State. I made a lot of bets. These playoffs. I don't want to call myself Nostradamus, but like I know enough about football. I saw how Ohio State played against Michigan.
Yeah.
I knew who their opponent was. I knew Georgia's going to national championship because Georgia has had the one draft recruiting class, number three, number two,
sure.
number one. Like the talent doesn't match up. And the way Ohio State played against Michigan, they wouldn't match up against Georgia. Georgia is in their dynasty mode. The same way
Alabama.
The same way Alabama was some years ago, maybe a decade ago, Georgia is in that mode right now. In college football, which I'm going to be coaching in a month, if you don't have the players to match up, after a while, scheme only matters so much. You're going to have player against player, matchup against matchup.
For sure.
You have to win and win. That's why LSU won the way they did. And look at all the LSU guys. All the receivers are superstars. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, their quarterback is a star. Their tackles are stars. The D-linemen are stars. You have to get those players out of high school.
The four-letter network said after that game that it was a good Saturday team playing a good Sunday team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, right? Could the Georgia Bulldogs beat an NFL squad?
No. I don't care if it's the Browns from the 2015 year when they went 0-16. It doesn't matter. You're not
really?
Because all those guys are the best players in the college teams. But there was like one of the four-letter networks had this list going on, and one of their tiers, again, you probably even know who the people are talking about now, but it was like the 2018 LSU team.
Okay.
It was Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, the two best young receivers in the NFL, Joe Burrow, all these guys. Like when you have these star players who have been so good since they were like 10 years old, played on these same teams, like it makes a difference. And that's what you're seeing right now. And like, I love the Georgia dynasty.
Can we try to take the Georgia Bulldogs and play an NFL squad?
See,
you don't want to do that.
Hold on one sec. It's a shame that you don't know sports.
Well,
because it used to happen.
Well, yeah, but when? I don't remember. Did they have the leather
NBA.
Helmets?
No, in NBA. The best college player would be on the Olympic team. And the NBA guys would make sure that Olympic guy, the guy who came from college, I think it was Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner.
They made sure that Christian Laettner didn't score a point, even though he was like the Naismith player of the year and this, that, and the other. He's not going to get a point because it's a different game, right? But you got to understand, like, you're dealing with the alphas of the alphas. This is the best guy in college in the best conference and all these things. And so, like, when you can recruit well, your coaching is, it matters, but it's still minuscule. And it's player on player, right? Where college programs, offenses are simple, defenses are simple, for the most part. And it's like, can you beat the man in front of you? And most of the time, they can. Georgia can beat TCU. I love TCU's quarterback. He's a gamer. I loved him, but I knew they were not going to win that game. I didn't think Ohio State was going to be as close as the game playing as TCU. I didn't think it would be that close. But like, I knew like how the outcome was going to go. I knew how the Michigan game was going to go because like I know how those players get accumulated and how those teams get accumulated. And like, it's college football has been exciting. I can't wait for the playoffs to get go from 12 teams to, is it 8 or 12 teams going to?
Yeah, I think it's 12.
12 teams, like, it's going to be exciting. The fact that the NFL expanded it from 16 teams to 18 teams.
How exciting, though, how exciting will number 12 play against Georgia? Number 3 played against Georgia, and they lost by 80.
Yeah, they did. But they beat, what, number 2 or number 4? And they got there. And whether or not it was a fair game, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the big. Yeah, it's a beatdown. Okay, there's been other national championship beatdowns that was in closer teams. So when you bring it up to the college football, it goes to 12 teams, right? You're going to have upsets because it's one game. It's not the NBA when it's a seven-game series. When it's a seven-game series, the better team is going to win more than not because like you're playing them every other day.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So going back
to obviously, you have a question. It's coming from you.
Well, your opening statement, you said you'll be coaching college in a month. So do you have an announcement? Is there a program? Like, where are you going? What are you doing?
I'll be with the Oregon Ducks in a month.
What?
Yeah, I'll be an assistant offensive line coach at the Oregon Ducks. I'm excited for it. I've been coaching the kids at House of Athlete, the draft-ready guys getting ready for their bowl games, the Senior Bowl and the All-American Bowl and the Combine training. I've been working with them for those things. Ooh, it's been a lot of fun.
My dog.
Yeah.
My brother boy.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
So you're going to draft me?
No, I can't draft you.
What? I'm the same age as Bennett.
I can train you.
The quarterback for Georgia is the same age as me. Like, we're the same.
He is.
So if he can do it, I have 4 years of eligibility.
And that's a whole different topic. But like,
I can go back to high school and play Al Bundy for the state championship.
No, the high school cuts off at 19.
Huh?
High school cuts off at 19. You can't go back to high school.
I can shave. You don't even know. But no, you can draft me. Well, you know, I like the Ducks' uniforms. They're vibrant.
Yeah.
Pittman was there.
Wear the duck.
Maybe I could wear a Pittman's old
Maybe jersey. You could wear a duck.
Micah Pittman used to play there. I could wear his old
jersey. So we got some time before our next interview, right?
And yeah, 6 minutes.
6 minutes. Okay, so I got a couple things to ask about you. Can we talk about the Bucks yet, or we have to wait until after our interview? Let me talk about the Bucks. Okay?
Okay.
So, Bucks playoff preview.
Okay.
And
playing against the Cowboys.
Playing against
Monday
the Cowboys.
Night, home.
Monday night. Home game.
Home game. Big deal for the home game, right?
Big deal. The question is, does Ryan Jensen get cleared? Does he play? Does Bucks O-line health, sacks? And the Bucks O-line has been the scapegoat the whole season.
Right.
Right? People want to attack Donovan Smith.
For sure.
People want to attack Tristan Wirfs. Well, I'm really Tristan Wirfs because he's a superstar, right?
I'm waiting for the question.
I have a statistic, right? The Bucks led up 22 sacks this season. And it was a top 5 offensive line. Last year, they let up 22 sacks, and they were a little bit higher, but it was still a top 5 offensive line. The Bucks' offensive line is not the problem. You did lose Alex Kappa, who's been playing amazing for the Bucks. Friend of the show, friend of me and Randy and Matt.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know about Matt. Shut up, Kappa.
Yeah, maybe not Matt. Right.
I love Kappa.
But the O-line is not the problem, right? I told people. And said on the show a couple weeks ago, the Bucks are going to win their first two playoff games.
Oh.
I don't care if they go on 8-9, 10-8, 8-8. It doesn't matter. They're going to beat the Cowboys.
You think?
I believe that with all my heart. I got money on it. Oh. I can say that now because I'm not a player.
He's got two more weeks that he
all
can
right,
say.
So
Rose,
I can gamble. Yeah, okay. So I'm not a player anymore, so I can gamble. I got money on the Bucks winning that game. I think they're going to beat the Eagles also, and they're going to.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and they're going to face the 49ers.
Oh,
and then that is a team, the 49ers, I believe the 49ers are going to be in the Super Bowl, so I think they'll lose the 49ers. But I believe the Bucks beat the Cowboys this week. When Donovan comes back.
Did you take a hit of Larry the Cable Guy's fatty?
I did not. Yeah, I did not. But yeah, just curious. I've been critical of the Bucks. I have been. And I think that their team has improved to where they are. I think there's a lot of discontinuity with their team. But, like, I believe they win this game. I think Tom Brady has this switch that he flips. I played with him for whatever it was, 6 weeks, a month, whatever it was. Like, I know how he is. He switches the slip when the playoffs come. The Bucks are going to win this game. The Cowboys did not look good to finish the season.
I agree with you on that. And I agree with you that Brady, he does just do what he does in a regular season, but that he's a different guy in the playoffs. Like, it's a different.
Look at the last 3 weeks that the Bucks played. Him and Mike Evans seemed like they found a new connection. Mike Evans needed 1,000 yards, and 2 weeks ago, he was like 600 yards short. So he gets 300 yards a game the last two games, all of a sudden.
And the same thing.
That's not because the team played bad, or the other team played bad, because he played those same teams weeks ago, and he didn't play as well. But I think Tom switches his mindset. I'm going to sit in this pocket, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. I'm going to find my guys deep down the field. These guys are going to make plays. When the Bucks won the Super Bowl, they were not better than the Chiefs that game. Their D-line was better than the O-line, agreed. But as far as talent-wise, the whole team, they weren't better than the Chiefs, and they found a way to win that game.
What I'm concerned about, you mentioned the offensive line. It's not the starting offensive line.
No.
You know, if Ryan comes back, and that's a decision that only Ryan can make, can he jump right back in? I think him being on the field will be a huge plus. But, you know, to his left, we're down to our third guy.
So,
you know, to the right, Tristan, how healthy is he? They're so my concerns.
I'll give you a little, I'll break down the fourth wall, like they say in wrestling and all these things like that. Ryan has been working for this moment for the last 2-3 months.
No, of course.
That's what he's been doing.
Sure.
Ryan Jensen on the field is a big difference than whoever's on the field. Ryan Jensen at 50% is better than 80% of the off centers that you're going to put in the NFL.
I agree.
At that point in time, because of what he does for that team,
I agree.
The calls he makes and how he sells out with his body for that team. I play with Ryan Jensen. I know what he brings to that team.
Yeah.
With or without Ryan Jensen, if you have Tristan Wirfs, Donovan Smith, and you have Shaq Mason, Tom Brady will sit in that pocket and make those throws. The Bucks are going to win that game initially. Without those two guys healthy on the bookends, Tristan and Donovan, I said the Bucks will win by 3. Now I believe the Bucks will win by 10 points for the Cowboys.
Wow.
I think that defense is going to come out there and play amazing. I think the Bucks win by 10 points.
That's
how I feel.
Somebody putting money in with you? Who's betting with the Bucks?
I think Steve, our producer, is betting with me. But I got money.
I think he's betting against you.
He's a Cowboy fan.
Okay, well, yeah. He's going to lose some money. But I got money on the Bucks winning this game by 10 points.
We will have some medical people check out Caleb.
Yeah,
just to make sure he's okay. You know, we just got, now we started getting
angry.
And
hey, listen, we can bet push-ups, and we can next show
push-ups.
Record Randy. Mac can probably do push-ups. We can bet Randy doing the push-ups.
I'll win that competition.
Or Randy doing the Bosu ball.
How many push-ups are you good for?
Let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sock. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the UFC strawweight, and you are listening to the Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Juju Smith-Schuster, man. Shout out to Knockout Radio. Turn up.
Turn it up.
Turn it up.
He said turn it up.
Is he still playing? Is he retired? Like, the Dolphins made it in the playoffs, right? Did they make it?
Sure. Yeah, all three Florida teams.
All three did?
All three Florida teams.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, is that rare? That's rare, right? Like, they don't...
I think it's happened before, but it's been a while. We do have a giveaway to give away. We do have a vinyl image album.
Is that a double negative, Randy? We have a giveaway to give away?
Give in a way?
We have a giveaway. It's a giveaway.
Did I say it twice?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'm trying to keep both of you in line. And
listen,
I,
you're senile. I understand. I still love you, though. You're my brother.
Well, you know, dementia is an awful thing. What exactly is going on here?
We're getting Kayla set up right. We're getting him...
unbelievable.
So it pours out through the gargoyle.
What?
Yeah.
Unbelievable what you guys do.
It's all about promotion,
Randy.
Listen,
hey, listen.
You're not going to get a TikTok following if you don't get with the
We
comments.
Love you and you love us. The followers love all of us together because we annoy you some days. Me and you are on the same connection most days. And then some days, me and Matt annoy you.
I'm just turning Matt off.
Well, no, here's the, I didn't do anything. I just showed him how to pour it out of a gargoyle. I'm the bad guy. Call it gargoyle. The gargoyle was the Smurfs bad guy. Papa Smurf nemesis.
What are you going to do after next week when Caleb's gone?
Not next week. End of the month.
I'm going to Oregon.
We got to the 28th now.
I'm going to get a job at Nike.
So you got at least 2 weeks
with
me.
I'm going to play for the Ducks. I'm moving to Oregon.
And we're going to do shoots out. We're going to do shoots out of Oregon. We're going to do shoots out of Vegas. You know, we'll introduce that to the fans later. But
I've never been a Ducks fan, but I am now.
Well, my son was excited.
Yeah.
Because you know the clothing we're going to get?
Yeah, Nike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Don't even.
Oh, no. Speaking of clothing. So now, I did my motivational
speaking. More important, that doesn't matter. More important is, when do you get to go to the campus?
I've been on the campus.
I've been on the campus as well.
Obviously, I've played there before, and right. We've been setting everything up with the campus. I'll be there at the end of the month, like the 28-ish and everything like that, and it's going to be fun. Can we host a show over there and do what we got to do, but it's going
to
be a great time.
The UFC went to Portland once. And we went to the campus. Rashad Evans had three shopping carts.
Yeah.
Full of shoes, full of everything. Speaking of the UFC, God, it feels like forever. It's been, what, 3 weeks since the last UFC. And another one, they're starting back up on the phone with us right now, fighting this weekend, Nick Fiore. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We appreciate your time. I know it's just the start of fight week, but how's it going? I guess technically it started, what, this morning?
Yeah, I mean, we've been out here in Vegas since Sunday. So, yeah, it's been going well, man. You know, lots of physical therapy and training sessions, and today's a big media day, so it's going smooth.
Do media and fans and, you know, anybody else that's involved make too much out of this is your first, this is your second, this is whatever? Is this just going to be another fight for you on Saturday?
Yeah, a little extra special though, obviously, you know, this has been the goal for my whole life, really. But yeah, ultimately is just another fight. Just a lot of smoke and mirrors.
One of my favorite gym names, team names, obviously is you guys, the New England Cartel. What's it like to train there, you know, with the other, you know, Calvin, Rob, and the rest of the team?
It's awesome, man. You know, we're a tight-knit group. It's a really small team. And, you know, it's just, it's fun. It's fun to be, like, you know, pursuing your goals with your best friends, really. You know?
What's a typical training session, you know, with those guys? You know, you go, obviously, balls to the wall, but you can't go balls to the wall. But, you know, you're all so talented. What's that like?
It's cool, man. It's a lot of brainstorming, a lot of bouncing ideas off each other. You know, it's a tough room, and everybody's always pushing each other to get better, helping each other. I think that's one thing that we have. Some of the like bigger teams don't have as much is everybody bands together to help whoever's got a fight. I feel like some of those bigger teams, you know, guys can kind of get like lost in the mix, and they're not getting the attention that they should be. But with us, it's just as soon as somebody gets the call, everybody's just banding together to get that person ready and give them whatever they need.
So, hey, it's Caleb Benenock, co-host on the show, NFL player. Just to give you a little background, for us, we have like a schedule how we go from, you know, our Monday light day after a game, and Tuesday off day, and Wednesday heavy day, Thursday lighter, Friday lighter, Saturday lighter, get it for a game. When you get to a fight week, how is your process going on from fight week to hard training to light training? You know, some certain teams do hard Fridays, light Thursdays. Some certain teams do hard Thursdays, light Fridays. What's your week like on fight week with weight cuts and everything to make sure you're still sharp and you get your weight down if you have to do weight cuts because some guys don't have to? What's your fight week process like to get ready for a fight and to be at your best on fight night?
So fight week, it definitely gets toned down. It's more just repetition, staying sharp. You're not really trying to go too crazy. You definitely get a good push. Like I'll do some, you know, some pad work or grappling drills that, you know, you're still getting a little bit of a push. But once you get to fight week, most of the work's basically been done. And it's just about, you know, focusing on your weight being on point and going into the fight as healthy as possible. You know, so a lot of physical therapy at the UFC Performance Institute, stuff like that. You know, it's really nice to be out here in Vegas and using these resources at the UFC gives us. Because it's, you know, it's the apex of the sport. So, you know, they hook us up, you know, and we appreciate it.
One more question. At this point in your career, you're camp. Right, because like the older I got in my career, I didn't need to bang as much. I needed more film work. I needed more understanding where I messed up here on game days. The more you go in your career, does that change for you? I know somebody like Max Holloway talked about he doesn't do a lot of individual sparring and hitting in his career. So for you, the harder you get in your career, the longer you get in your career, does that change for you, or do you stick with what you did when you were a young guy? Because I know I have to make that change for me and my career, in my off seasons and doing full speed 101s to half speed 101s. Like, how has that changed for you throughout the course of your career? Do you plan on more changes, or do you always just stick with the hard stuff? Because I know people think it's hard stuff, like James Harrison and a lot of NFL players just stick with just like the hard work, and that's what's better for them. How do you feel about that as you advance in your career?
Yeah, I feel like it's about the balance, you know, cause you definitely have to have that hard work in. You know, you got to feel that suck basically every day. But I would say most of my training is more about advancing my knowledge, you know, and making adjustments and stuff like that, refining, as well as getting the hard work in. So, yeah, man. I feel like that's what it is, that balancing act between those components.
Hey Nick, it's Matt here. So a lot of Instagram, like we always look up fighters to see, you know, what we have in common outside of the fighting game, you know, and everybody usually has a picture of like hobbies and things, but your page is all fighting, bro. So let the fans know, like, what kind of things you do for fun, for enjoyment, or just, you know, who you are outside of the cage.
If I'm not training, I'm usually chilling, you know. I like playing video games and, you know, classic stuff like that. I like doing active things, you know, go outside, go for a hike, go for a run, play with my dog, you know. It's nothing too glamorous. You know, my mind is really honed in on you know, refining my skills. And, you know, if I'm not doing that, I'm basically just resting for the next session.
Well, as you're honing in, obviously you get in the octagon on Saturday. What are your thoughts? What do you know about your opponent? And I always ask fighters this. Does it even matter? I mean, it's not so much about the opponent. It's what you're going to do to that opponent on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I feel like it doesn't matter too much. You know, you don't want to focus too much on the other guy. You know, we watch some film, get an idea of what we're working with. He looks like a pretty powerful guy, good grappling. It's southpaw, so we made some adjustments for those things. But as far as, like, the techniques and stuff and how, you know, how I plan on fighting, it's basically just going to be I'm going to go in and play my game, you know, and make him react to me.
So, like I told you earlier, I've played in the NFL for 7-8 years, and most weeks I get the chance to, it's 18-week season, I get a chance to just do what I do and make sure my plan is good but going into a game. There's certain guys that I play against. I play against a Von Miller or Aaron Donald or an Akeem Hicks or one of these guys who are special, and I have to adjust my game to make sure I can neutralize him with what he does best, where most other guys, I get to just play my game the best way I can and stop him from doing what he does best. Do you adjust your game based on a certain guy you're fighting? If you fight, again, like whoever the stud is in your weight class, right? Whoever the top 2, 3, 4 guys is in your weight class. Do you adjust your game to that? Or do you go into the game thinking, or the fight, because again, you're fighting. Do you go into the fight thinking like, hey, I'm going to do what I have to do. If I handle my business, I'm going to be fine. Or if I fight one of these top guys, I have to neutralize what they do best to make myself get a better chance to win. How do you approach your camp and your fight week based on that aspect?
Yeah, I think that too is like a balance, you know, because you can't change your entire game based on the opponent, but you can definitely, focus on like just making the right decisions. To counter what they're trying to do, and implement your game plan. But I feel like you know fighting's so chaotic, you just have to be adaptable to to any situation. So yeah, there's definitely a good amount of studying what they're gonna do, and what their strong suits are, you know, and then we kind of go over what to do about it, what our game plan is gonna be. But yeah, man, just like anything else, I feel like it's a balance of both of those things.
Final question for you, Nick. I'm curious. Can you watch, and I ask a lot of fighters this, can you watch a fight as a fan, or are you always trying to pick up something, trying to learn something, so you're studying and not necessarily being entertained?
I feel like it's just inherently entertaining because I just love fighting. But yeah, man, I'm constantly analyzing if I see something that somebody does well or something I haven't seen. I'm always looking to pick up something new. A little bit of both, but probably more on the studying side.
Right. Well, you're definitely coming from the right area. Boston and the Boston surrounding is the fight capital. I know that for sure. I was stationed there. I've told the story before. My first day in Boston, I'm taking the train or tram or whatever it was called up there, the T, and I get to my stop, Maverick Station, and I see a fist fight in the street. And a guy goes, I should cut your effing throat. I'm going to take your nose instead, and whips out a switchblade and chops the dude's, you know, ear off or nose off. That's a tough place up there in Boston.
Yeah, man. It's got its tough places for sure.
just another Boston day. Nick, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck. Have fun on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a package of salsa from Blue Smoke Salsa in West Virginia. Best salsa you've ever had. Let me know you get it, and we'll make sure we send you more.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you, guys.
Have fun on Saturday. Nick Fiore gets in to the Octagon on Saturday as UFC Fight Night 217 kicks back in. It's been couple weeks.
Yeah, and I miss it.
Finally.
Been a little jonesing for it.
Yeah, I've been bored, man. Like, Saturdays are boring.
Yeah. Is that what young people say? I'm jonesing for it.
Well, jonesing happens in March, apparently.
Jonesing happens when there's only hockey going on. That's when we start jonesing. But it's been boring. Like, you know, like, NFL is coming to a close. It's getting to that playoff time. And college football, there's a lot of games on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and all these things going on. And like,
isn't there another bowl game like today or?
Yeah, but what?
I think the Hula Bowl or something.
There's too many bowl games and nobody cares anymore about those random bowl games with SDMU. That's a random cause I just made up. And CTSU and like, in the Knockout Radio Bowl.
Hey, we could only hope.
One hour down, 1 hour to go. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Center.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks are free. Now that ain't working.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.